Martin Luther once said that God's grace is shown everywhere. God's grace is everywhere. He said God created a world full of goodness and a world with many opportunities for new beginnings, all made possible by God's attribute of grace. Grace is not only something God does, grace is something He is. If you take time to study God's attributes, you find that one of His chief attributes is grace. It flows from Him. That's why He shows His grace in many, many different ways, because it's inherent in who He is. Am I inherently a person of grace? No, it's something given to me by God. It's something aroused in me by God, but that's not true of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God displayed His grace following the flood when He told Noah in Genesis 8:22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." There's God's grace. Even after those He created rebelled against Him, He comes to him to show His grace and revive life within them. Luther said God demonstrates His grace in the seasons, always giving opportunity to start over again. Each season is a new beginning. That's exactly what the seasons do. The farmer who learned from last season starts anew, wiser, and probably more productive in the new year. And that's the way life is. That's the way God works with us. Will you turn to Proverbs chapter 3? The book of Proverbs. Again, Luther pointed to this chapter and he said, God's grace is demonstrated in this particular chapter of Proverbs. And if you look closely at this chapter, you will find there are 10 main statements. 10 main statements, which in the end demonstrate the grace of God. It's in your news sheet, wherever I put that. And it's in the upper left-hand corner. Starts off by saying, "Do not forget my teaching," first line. And then we have these. These are the 10 main points that we find in Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 3, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you." Number 2, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." Verse 9, "Honor the Lord from your wealth." Verse 11, "Do not despise the Lord's discipline." Verse 13, "Search diligently for wisdom." Verse 7, "Do not live your life fretting." We're back to fretting again. Verse 27, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it." Verse 29, "Do not plot against your neighbor. And verse 31, do not envy a violent man, somebody who's very scheming in the way they get through life. Let's just review these briefly, okay? I think it's a really good little exercise, at least it was for me this week, to go through this. Verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. The NIV, the New International Version, says it this way, let love and faithfulness never leave you. And the word for kindness that you see in this text, or love, is one that means love expressed. You know, it's not just something you're talking about, but a love that is expressed. And the word for truth or faithfulness is one that means loyalty based upon truth, tied to truth. Not a misguided loyalty, but one that leads those it loves to embrace life as it really is. Some people show love but lack the kind of reliability that is needed. Others are loyal but are harsh and lack love. Together, love and loyalty are powerful in the life of a person. These are so important, to love and have loyalty, that the writer of Proverbs says this, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Bind them around your neck. That's just exactly what the Israelites did. You remember that? God gave them his word, and they would write them on little sheepskins and make little boxes, and they would hang them around their neck, or they would put them on their forehead. And during the day, they would stop, reach into their little box, take out God's word, and memorize it. And they would do this repeatedly, writing different scriptures down so that this kind of thing could be done. Bind them around your neck. Or, he says, even better, write them on the tablet of your heart. What is that? Well, that's something we all try to do somewhere along the line, I think, if we're serious in our walk with the Lord. That is, we memorize scripture. We memorize verses, we memorize passages, so that it is written on the table of our hearts. How important is God's word? It was important back then. It's important for us today. And his word to us today is take God's word and write it on the tablet of your heart. The outcome, verse 4, you will earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and in the eyes of people. This is how it reads in my NASB, you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. The Word of God has a life-changing power in it, not only to affect us, but to affect others. And he's telling us here that in the lives of those people where the Word of God is written on the tablet of their heart, it's stored in their memory, God does good things in their lives, but not only in their lives, he does good things in the lives of other people as well. So there's the first thing. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. And this truth that he's talking about is centered in God's word. Okay, another statement, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. One of the things, if you study this subject of the heart in the Bible, you discover that the heart has many compartments. It's not just a heart with a big opening in the middle. It's got different sections to it. And that's probably one of the reasons that Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We have a lot of different things going on in our hearts that we have to deal with. And apparently we can't deal with them all at once. And so the Lord takes us on a journey, and you'll know this term, of cleansing the heart. Taking the parts of the heart that need help and changing them into a heart that is the proper kind of a heart. What is the heart? Someone has said it's the intersection of the intellect, the emotion, the will, the spirit. Everything that's inside of you intersects, and we call it the heart. And he says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And yet the command here is trust the Lord with all your heart. Is that true of us? Is that true of every one of us? No. And when we come to him, the Lord takes our hearts and he begins to work with them one little room at a time. And he moves from here to here to here to here. Hebrews 4:12 may come to your mind. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart, calling us again to realize how important God's word is in our lives. Proverbs 3:6 gives an outcome. In all your ways acknowledge him, that's trusting him with all your heart, and he will make your paths straight. Okay? First statement, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Second statement, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's a third statement in verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And it will be a healing to your body and a refreshment to your mind. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Or realize there are others whom you can learn from. Don't be a loner when it comes to growing in wisdom. Turn to God first, but realize God has given us help in friends. We all need others in our lives. And here he tells us, don't be wise in your own eyes. If you're not going to be wise in your own eyes, what does that mean? Logically, bring some others in. Find trusted friends. People who accept you, people you can get along with. Ask the big questions. Struggle together on truth, and God will be our teacher. In this sense, friendship is a great asset in gaining wisdom. I have been amazed at the number of people I talk to today who say it's really hard to have friends. People are running here and they're running there and they have no time for anything. And yet the call is to have friends. And we gain wisdom in having the right kind of friends. Make friendship a goal, because out of it, there is a great blessing that comes to us in gaining wisdom. Here's another statement. Verse 9. Honor the Lord from your wealth. Test first from your produce, or from the first and the best that you have. When the children of Israel harvested their crops, they always took the very best that they had, the very first of the harvest, and took it and gave it to God. It was kept at the temple, and it was used for many different things in providing food and sustenance for the children of Israel. This is a recognition that everything belongs to God, and he enriches our lives by making us his stewards. He gives to us, and what do we do with what he gives with us? We become stewards of it. One of the best ways to test that, I think, today is we have a few farmers in the room, not as many as we used to have, but we all have jobs of some kind. And what do we do with first fruits? What do we do with that which God provides for us? Well, one of our responsibilities is providing for others. A follower of Christ can never be mature if he does not learn to be a giver. We're called to be givers, right? Okay, another statement. Do not despise the Lord's discipline or the Lord's training. Every child of God will be trained. Every one of us will be trained and tested. It is how we attain maturity. And it is a lifelong experience. It involves accepting the tests that come and learning in them. We may not always know why we're where we are, but we're there for a reason, and God is with us. And no matter what the test is, it will always lead the follower of Christ to maturity. Tests will always come, but as we accept and learn what the Lord has for us, our wisdom grows and we are more effective in knowing and doing God's will. It's an important lesson to learn. Okay, verse 13, another statement. Search diligently for wisdom. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Verse 15 says, nothing you desire compares with her. To be a wise person. It is too often our desires that compete with wisdom, and the world is full of enticements that cater to our selfish desires and call us away. Paul tells us God has given us all things richly to enjoy, all good things. Our enjoyment of them often becomes an end in itself. And we never find the intended satisfaction that wisdom brings to us. Because we get tied up in God's goodness and never forget that He's doing something in our lives, equipping us to serve others. We haven't time to expound on this, but wisdom is embedded in the order of creation. Wisdom lives in creation itself. It is the rhythms of creation from them we learn common sense. Verses 15 through 23 are a song to wisdom. Verse 15, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares to her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth, and by understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies dripped the dew. Wisdom all around us. Wisdom in creation. Wisdom in relationships, wisdom in reading, all kinds of things we do, filled with wisdom, set there for us to learn. Verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden fear. That's an interesting way that's worded. What is a sudden fear? It's something you suddenly learn that brings fear into your life. One translation has it this way, do not live your life fretting. We're back to fretting again. How easy it is to go through life and fret. Here's the promise in verse 26. The Lord will be your confidence, or more literally, the Lord is on your side. He is on your side. He is for you. Verse 27, here's another statement. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. The statement here is usually interpreted Do not ignore those who are truly needy. Do we know needy people? Do we attend to them? And it's not always monetary. There are all kinds of needy people around us. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. Someone has written, your hand is God's hand for that person. There are people around us who need our help. They may be just next door. Jesus said, love your neighbor, right? Do we know our neighbors well enough to know what their needs are, to go to them? Verse 28, do not tell your neighbor to go away and come back some other time when you presently have the resources to help. Get to know people. Get to know people around you. Now, here's one I thought was interesting. Verse 29. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives in security beside you. One translation is, do not plot against your neighbor. How many of you have ever plotted against your neighbor? Come on, be honest.
Do we have to raise hands?
I was just going to say.
Because of their dog, their cat, their kids. There are all kinds of things, right, that can bother you about your neighbor. I think that's one of the great challenges we have today. A lot of us don't even know neighbors. They don't want to know us, and it's a battle to get to know people today. At one point, Judy and I had a neighbor, and about everything he did was irritating. I mean, you couldn't escape it. His personality was irritating. His speech was irritating. And his kids were irritating. And I didn't like his wife that much either. I mean, yeah, you could just find everything. I remember at one point, he hung wind chimes on the corner of his garage. And I want to tell you, his bedroom was at the other end of the house. Our bedroom was by the wind chimes. And those things, you don't know how much they can make noise at night. Just a little breeze gets them going. And Judy and I were so irritated by that because it kept waking both of us up. And we talk about it. And what do we do? You know, what do you do? Verse 30 here says, do not contend with a man without cause, or do not walk around with a chip on your shoulder. I finally decided to go talk to him. He said, no problem, I can take care of that. Don't we blow things up? Don't we make them bigger sometimes than they need to be? Whereas if we would just take our time to love and to talk to people, so many of those kinds of things can be solved. And then finally, verse 31. Do not envy a violent man, or probably better translated, the oppressive man, the man who bullies his way through life. There are people who are like that. And due to his resolve or strength of personality, or because he has all the inside information, he is able to take advantage of people and situations and bully his way through life. He says, don't be that way. Don't be that kind of person. Notice the next verse. Do not choose any of his ways or his tactics. Verse 32, for the crooked man is an abomination to the Lord. Stay away from that. Don't be a manipulator as you go through life. So here are 10 basic principles of living wisely. These verses that we looked at here this morning. To be thought about and incorporated into our lives. What did the first verse say? My son, do not forget my teaching. Don't forget this. Well, they're easily forgotten. So it might be wise to bind them to yourself. Maybe write them out. Maybe you ought to card and put it in your Bible and just go back and revise them now and then. Review them. We are called to be people of grace. And we find grace in the Old Testament expressed in such things as this, just like Martin Luther said. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the gems of Scripture, the passages that we often overlook, whereas if we take time to dwell upon them, we find deep truths, really helpful things, practical advice that is given to us. And may we do what you told the children of Israel to do, bind them up on your forehead, put them in a little box and hang them around your neck, or better yet, write them on your hearts. And may we be people who have God's word written in our hearts. Thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for this time of worship. And we pray you'll take your word and apply it to our lives through this week. And we do want to pray for the event this afternoon at Neighborhood Fellowship, that your blessing would rest upon that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.